With all the ferocity of anger and hatred, we come running out of the red negative speed force. That's right, tonight is Reverse Flash time on Out of the Speed Force.
How are you doing tonight, Greg?
Can you hear me now?
What?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Good, good, because we have some sound and fury going with this episode.
Lots of sound, lots of fury. We are talking about The Sound of the Fury, episode 11 of the first season of The Flash. Let's just get right into the description. While Iris faces trouble in her new job, a foreigner protege of Dr. Wells uses sound waves to attack the Flash. You know, this is another one that IMBD, when it did its descriptions, it hit a good description. It's short, it's brief, and it tells you basically what's going on without giving away much.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, with this episode and the last one, it really feels like the Flash is building towards something. Like, there's a lot of world building that's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Flushing out Flash's rogues gallery.
But this episode and the one that follows also does another thing. It starts the tradition of taking a character that could have been great and only using him a handful of times and letting him go into the ether.
Yeah, I would say that Harley, the Pied Piper, is probably the greatest wasted character on The Flash. And, you know, when he's in here, like with what they do with him, you know, it's really great. It's just, you want to see more of him.
And the thing is, with the way they played it out, it looked like we should be seeing more of him, but we don't. After this episode and next episode, he shows up one more time next season in season 2, and then that's it. No more Hartley.
Yeah, and for me, it's a bit strange because, especially with how the CW is right now, with wanting to promote having like a diverse cast of characters, Harley would be a really good character to have as a recurring character, or even like part as like either Team Flash or a bit of an in-betweener, good / bad guy, because it's only mentioned a little bit in this episode, but the Flash Pied Piper is gay, and what's actually really important about this character is he's one of the very first DC characters to actually be an LGBTQ character, and one of the early Wally West comics is Harley actually coming out to Wally, to Wally West when he's the Flash, and Wally accepting him for who he is, and that being part of the reason why Harley actually in the comics for long periods of time is actually an ally of the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
When he initially starts off as a villain. And I think, you know, having that storyline, you could easily put that in this series and have Harley, you know, be a good character to have as like a secondary character at least.
Well, yeah, for sure, because no matter what you actually think of people in the LGBTQ, I think I got that right. And if I didn't, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to offend any of you who might be listening. I'm just not good with acronyms. He would have been a great one to put in and can continue in that role. You're absolutely right, because really, if I'm not mistaken, we don't really see a main character do that until we get to Legends with the White Canary. Well, actually, we find out that she was of that persuasion in Arrow, but still, she doesn't become a main recurring character of the lesbian persuasion until Legends. And then we don't see it again until Supergirl.
Yeah, well, and even then, like, even though she's more of a lesbian on the show, like she's more, like, she started off as being more, you know, bisexual, because she was right. interested in Oliver, but she was also interested in Nyssa. And she does kind of have, like, some kind of, like, tension with John Constantine, who is also bisexual, I think. Well, yeah, I think he's also bisexual. But Harley would have been a nice character. I know they did kind of played around with that on with Nora's character on The Flash in season 5. But with you know, Harley, you know, that's part of his character in the comics. And with this episode, it really felt like they were building him up to something. And I'm not sure why, but they just chose not to pursue it. But you can see, like, kind of like the roots are being planted that Harley could have been, you know, a bigger character than what he ended up, you know, becoming.
No, absolutely. And it was a shame, too, because, I mean, Hartley's one of those characters that, one of those few that could really affect the Flash. And not because he's a meta or superpowered or anything like that, just because he has a great scientific knowledge about how sound works and how frequencies work. And if you have any real basic knowledge of science, you know that vibrations at a certain frequency can take out large objects. It's just a scientific fact.
Yeah, no, and he, and some of his powers, you know, they kind of incorporate that into vibe. Like with the vibrations and everything. And I was thinking too, I always keep forgetting his name, Tom Felton in season 3, his character. Yeah. Imagine if they decided not to go with Tom and instead had Harley step into that role for season 3.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have the Caitlin love story storyline, but, you know, Harley is obviously, you know, has a chip on his shoulder. And so he, you know, can have that intellectual kind of like bouncing off with Barry and that rivalry. But you can also have that character, you know, and granted, it would have messed with the Dr. Alchemy storyline. But I think looking back, that would have been a better decision to do. With building that character.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been a neat thing to have because, yeah, sure, maybe not even playing off Barry, but that could have been a side thing, you know. The tension could have been between Dr. Alchemy and Sisko, as really their power sets are, if you think about it, two sides of the same coin, kind of like the Reverse Flash and the Flash.
Yeah. And obviously there's a rivalry between Sisko mm-hmm. and Harley, which is played very well in this episode.
Yeah, even in the next one, too, because, you know, he is going to show up next episode, so we could have got a lot out of them.
Yeah. But for what we have, Harley is a fun character.
Mm-hmm. And as a fun character, Hartley isn't actually focusing too much on the Flash. His motivation is revenge against Dr. Wells.
Yeah, and it's a very Wells-heavy episode with this one. And we get to see more. The mystery continues to add when we see him at his house where he happens to walk around and out in the open, which is interesting considering the nice pad that that Wells is living in, and it happens to have a lot of windows.
Yeah, no kidding. Really, when you think about it, you wouldn't think that there'd be that many panes of glass around so that, you know, people can't see Harrison Wells, who's supposedly in a wheelchair, walking around like he's got use of his legs. Like, people would notice.
Considering the only other place we see him get out of his wheelchair is the that secret room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a strange choice. But it also kind of starts to open up some signs that to the other characters that there's something strange going on.
Definitely.
With Wells.
Yeah, because Caitlin and Sisko admit they've never been to Wells' house. They don't have any real knowledge of his personal life. And that's made very manifest in this episode.
Mm-hmm. And when, after Harley does his attack on Wells' house, and Wells has to use his super speed to escape the falling glass, it causes Eddie and Joe to kind of raise their suspicions, because it should have hurt Wells like when it came down based on where he was standing. And so they start kind of asking some questions about that.
Yeah, really, because one of their main concerns is, hey, Wells is in a wheelchair. How did he cover this distance without getting a scratch?
Yeah, that chair doesn't move that fast, so...
No, it's a pretty good mover for a wheelchair, but it's not that big of a deal for a regular old wheelchair. It's not super modified or anything like that. It's not like he's going from 0 to 60 in 2.1 seconds.
Right. And again, I have to give the CW credit. They certainly know the coolest places to have their characters live.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Oliver's different pads that he lives on Arrow. With this one, I could definitely see a Central City HGTV episode, well, a series of based on the different houses that they have there.
Yep. But yeah, there's a definite focus of rage from Hartley Brathaway, focusing on Harrison Wells and his golden boy, the Flash. Because yes, when it comes right down to it, while the focus is Wells, the target is Barry as the Flash.
He kind of targets everyone. I think part of it is to show Wells that he made the mistake of rejecting Harley. And so he wants to show Wells that, you know, he's better than any of the other characters that he's put his faith in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, that, he already has a chip on his shoulder for being rejected by his parents. And then for Wells to feel slighted by Wells and... that he's, preferring Sisko over him, and then the Flash. You've got a lot of built-up resentment there.
Oh, definitely. But really, when it comes down to it, and we don't really find this out till later on in the run of the Flash, but part of the reason that Wells goes out and hires Sisko is because he already knows that he needs Sisko because of all the time jumping and stuff we see in episodes that come later on.
Yeah. He had a good feeling about Sisko. You can get those good feelings by knowing your history.
Or in Wells' case, seeing his history.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Pied Piper in this particular iteration, I don't know how it is in the comics, but here he's using sound tech in the form of gauntlets that he uses to shoot vibration waves at buildings, at the Flash.
With the comics, Pied Piper is an interesting character because he's one of those characters where if you're familiar with him with the comics, you wonder how they can transfer him and adapt him to a TV show without making him look a bit goofy, because even though his TV costume has some elements of his comic costume, in the comics he definitely looks more like the traditional Pied Piper and uses like a flute instead of gauntlets to use his sound powers. And with that, his sound powers, there's a bit more I think there's a bit more like mind control with that as well. Whereas with this, it's more vibrations and everything. I mean, there's that too, but he's a bit more powerful in the comics in terms. Well, a bit more versatile with his abilities in comics than he is with in the TV show. But I think it's for the better. It's, you know, you don't want to. There's some things you have to kind of leave in the comics because it just won't transfer. It'll kind of seem goofy to the average viewer. So, as someone that's familiar with the comics, I approve of how they interpreted the character.
Right. I could have seen the Pied Piper going in comics if they'd had included him in the 90s TV show The Flash that John Wesley Shipp starred as Barry Allen. The costuming and whatnot they used there, which we saw a little bit in just the past season, would have worked well.
Mm-hmm. I think I was kind of amused during the first fight that Harley had with The Flash because they're having their showdown, and at some point, Barry just kind of runs around and grabs the different cops, their clubs, and starts, like, just chucking them at him. And I don't know why, I just thought that was kind of funny, considering The Flash can just... I think if it was current Barry, he would probably have, either, like, do, like, a whirlwind with, like, his hands or something, or do something different, whereas with this one, he's just kind of, like, just, like, randomly, like, just throwing items at him. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was kind of amusing. It was some of the stuff they had Barry do was kind of funny in this episode. But he really wasn't the main focus this time, which makes it an interesting episode in and of itself. Like, I mean, yeah, he's the Flash, and he's the pretty much main target for death here, but he wasn't really the main focus.
No, it's more about Wells, and I think with the beginning of the episode, you kind of see the theme that they're going with when Flash takes out the Royal Flush Gang, where Wells, kind of takes control and directs the Flash and setting up a trap for to get the Royal Flush Gang to like just kind of like stop, all meet up in one central location on their motorcycles, and afterwards Barry telling him that, you know, he has the makings of a hero. And with this episode, we kind of see that, where Wells could be a hero if he wanted to.
Right, because I think in this episode he said it felt good to play the hero for a bit.
Yeah. And you wonder if he's being sincere or not, and I think he was being sincere with that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we do get a lot of backstory on Thawne in this season, and in season 5 we do as well, and in multiple seasons he's admitted in the show that he started out wanting to be just like the Flash. Like, he recreated the accident, he gave himself as the Flash powers, even though he had to make his own speed force at some point, but his goal was to be the new Flash, which means, I think, his goal was to be the hero, not to be a villain in the beginning.
Yeah. And there's definitely many points in the series where he's conflicted with his choices. Even though, he's going to choose to be evil, he does teeter on, the side of wanting to do good sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this episode, a lot of it is, Harley has this secret over Wells, and Wells has to, we're not quite sure what that secret is at first. And, you want, especially with, Wells being at his home and, he's standing and then he gets that call from Harley, and you think that maybe he knows that Wells is the Reverse Flash. And that he's just kind of faking being in the wheelchair. But really it's because he was the one that warned Wells about the dangers of using the particle accelerator. And Wells has to admit to everybody that he knew the dangers, but he went along with it anyway, which puts him at odds with the Flash for a bit.
Right. The whole team, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to win their trust back, that's why he held the press conference to admit to the city that, yes, I knew this could happen, but I went ahead with it anyway instead of double-checking. Of course, you can't say he went ahead with it anyway because that was his plan the whole time, but, you know, he's still got to be able to function in society for a little while yet before he goes full Reverse Flash.
Right, and if you can admit, if you can just say that it's for the science, I think that's enough for some people to understand, like, why he would do it. Because with science, it's not, you know, it's like Jurassic Park. Like, why would you bring these dinosaurs back to life when, you know, they will eat people? Well, it's like, you know, it was more about whether they can, whether that, than whether they should or not. And so it's that kind of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And two, it's like, if you just look at the science of the part behind the particle accelerator, as far as it's portrayed in The Flash, you could liken it to Einstein and the team of the Manhattan Project when they're developing the nuclear bomb and the nuclear power and whatnot.
Yeah, that would be an appropriate
parallel.
Yeah.
But you also find out that Hartley, is playing the long game in this episode because we don't really find out what his target is and why he was so easy to capture until almost halfway through, if not halfway through. He wanted to get captured because he needed access to the files of Star Labs to execute his endgame.
Right. And the interesting thing, one of the notes I put was when they capture Harley and they put him in the pipeline, they want to take away his, you find out that he is actually wearing hearing aids and they want to take that away from him. And Harley is very much, you know, against that and, you know, pleads for mercy. And it's just like, you know, would you, you know, take that away from me? You know, cause the particle accelerator, you know, it affected me too and took that away from me. And the whole scene kind of reminded me of like, Lord of the Rings, with, you know, you wouldn't take an old man's cane away from him, would you?
Right.
Gandalf and everything. And it's like, well, actually, you should do that and take that away, because that's what he uses to escape from the pipeline. He's actually, I think, the first character to escape from the pipeline on his own.
Yes, he is, because any character that we've seen out of the pipeline that's previously in the pipeline has been let out by Wells.
Yes.
We saw that with Girder. We will see that with one of the upcoming characters, too.
And that explosion, too, when I was watching it, when Sisko runs in and it goes off on him, I thought that was pretty gnarly of an injury for poor Sisko. That could have killed him from the force of the blast.
Well, no kidding. I mean, they OMG science that a little bit, but if you're looking at the actual physics behind the blast, I've watched enough Mythbusters to know Sisko was dead at the end of that. He was right in the blast point, shrapnel all over the place. If he survived the blast, he wouldn't have survived the shrapnel.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He's a metahuman. Maybe his vibration powers kept him alive there for some reason.
Yeah, maybe you could look at that way, but we don't know he's vibe yet. I mean, the first indication we get that he's got something unique about him that might be meta is something that happens a few episodes from now, but right now he should be dead. There's nothing that.
Sure. I'm just goofing around for the most part with that.
I know.
It's one of those moments where it's like the quote from Mystery Science Theater's theme song where it's like, it's a TV show, you really should relax. But yeah, when I saw it, I was like, I think Cisco's dead from that.
Yep, I agree. He should be dead. Now, not in a few episodes, not in a few years, right there.
Yeah. At least he got a concussion out of it.
Well, they gave him something at least.
Yeah. I have to say, too, I really enjoyed just the interactions between Harley and Cisco, and just, you really get this snooty kind of I'm better than you attitude from Harley, and just kind of like, I mean, you can understand why, you know, we sympathize with Cisco, but, you know, if you're someone with Harley's background, you can understand why he has a chip on his shoulder when mm-hmm. dealing with Cisco. Like, oh, it's your first day here, and you're wearing like a Han Shot first t-shirt under that jacket.
I give you 2 weeks, or was it a week? I think it was a week.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, it's just during that episode, he's sitting there going, and I think you have I give you a week, tops.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Caitlin.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for her with this episode and the Rogue episode previously, because, like, these are really, it's the start of poor Caitlin's, almost like damsel in distress. You know, she's, if someone's going to be in distress, it's going to be her. Well, with this episode, she just kind of, when Harley escapes from the pipeline, he just kind of like knocks her out really quick. And I don't know, I feel bad for her because I think this is where the show is kind of like struggling to find something to do with her when she's not looking for Ronnie.
Yeah, or being a doctor.
Right. Which she would, she's not useless. You know, and definitely, I think that the toughest season for her is season 3 when she's not Killer Frost. But this is kind of like one of those moments where it's just, they're struggling kind of how to juggle all these characters, you know, that don't have superpowers at the moment.
Yep. And then we go through a few seasons and we end up with them having trouble juggling all these characters with superpowers.
Right.
But, yeah, that poor girl was put through a lot in season 1 here with at least the first 15 episodes trying to deal with the death of Ronnie, and then, hey, he's alive, and, hey, he's not who I knew. Wow, that's just a lot to deal with when you think about it.
Definitely. Not to mention her car got frozen in the last episode.
Oh, I know, that poor car. What did it ever do to Leonard?
Hopefully maybe she has good insurance on it.
Yeah, and maybe he just has a thing against compact cars.
Yeah.
Speaking of cars, it's a good way to segue into the final battle since it takes place on a bridge.
Yeah, that was a nice little dramatic scene.
Yep, so while, as Hartley put it, while you move your Scarlet Knight, I'm going to eliminate a few pawns.
Yeah, and I think Harley kind of touches on, like, the best way for any villain to kind of take on the Flash, which is something that Leonard Snart did in his first episode, which is keep Flash distracted by putting the people around them in danger.
Definitely. Because Barry is the consummate hero. He is going to try to save the people in danger no matter what happens.
And so, that whole scene of just, you know, him, like, zooming around and, like, jumping in midair and, like, grabbing people out of cars before they fall down the dam, you know, very impressive stuff.
Definitely.
But then he removes Harley's gauntlets, and little does he know that that's exactly what Harley wanted.
Oh, yes, because the target of the whole thing we were talking about when he escaped from attacked our labs was to get a hold of the files that they had on the Flash, to get his frequency to be able to kill him.
And it looked pretty nasty, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because without his healing factor there, the super speed healing, he'd have been dead, like, real quick, I'm sure, because that looked painful.
Yeah, it was a nice touch, like, have him, like, bleeding from his mouth and everything. Mm-hmm. That's what, I think, ultimately, that's what makes Harley a really good villain for this episode, is just, he's always kind of one step ahead of everybody with his intelligence. You know, has a good power set, but a lot of it is tricking his opponents and putting themselves in danger.
Yeah, and
really, it's Wells that saves the day.
Oh yeah, that satellite radio maneuver, finding a frequency to cancel out the gauntlets and shut them down, that was a stroke of brilliance. It really does show how smart Eobard Thawne really is.
Although I did think my wife came in when Harley tried to grab the gauntlets and they like exploded on him and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, it made her laugh. Cause not that the acting was bad, but it was a little goofy.
Well, you gotta think though, that was a cheesy way to end that.
Right.
You lose your only real power, which is mechanical.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, he's still very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he still has his mind.
Really, when you think about it like this, you know, the Pied Piper would have been a great way to have a partnership with the Thinker. Cause I mean, sure, the Thinker was artificially enhanced intelligence and he needed somebody, a body like Ralph's, to contain that intelligence. But still, Hartley would have been a great henchman for the Thinker. I don't know if that actually played out in the comics or not, but it would have been neat if it did.
Well, no, and I was thinking that too, that he would have been a good character to kind of go up against the Thinker. But what I was thinking was with the way that I thought that the season was going, well, what the series was going towards was building up, you know, to an actual, you know, team up of like a full rogues team. And just imagine, like, especially with all the characters that they introduce in this season, if they all kind of came together, like, in the next season to take on the Flash. And you had Captain Cold and Heatwave. Throw a Pied Piper in there, Weather Wizard, one of the Tricksters and Golden Glider. Have that as like a season finale. You know, the six of them going against Team Flash.
Mm-hmm. I
think you could have had something pretty epic there.
Oh, definitely. That would have been great.
And I didn't mention it in this last episode, but since the Pied Piper is a rogue, I do think it's been a real mistake of the Flash TV show that they haven't explored the rogues more. Because you really could have, what you could have done is you could have had 2 to 3 episodes each season kind of devoted to like building up to like, you know, that season's like rogues, you know, showdown, and kind of split things up so that, you know, you can give your main villain a bit of a break and let the Flash take on something that's reoccurring, you know, that's still reoccurring in a threat, but isn't like the main focus of the season.
Unless you've got something else, I think we've pretty well covered this for a retrospective.
Well, I think there's 2 more things I'd like to touch on.
Okay.
First we have the setup for the next episode, where mm-hmm. after they have Harley in the pipeline, and Harley, and Cisco's about to put him away, but Harley throws his, you know, last trump card by saying, you know, I know how to find Ronnie Raymond, or I know about Ronnie Raymond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And so you have that hook for the next episode where Cisco and Harley go on their own adventure. And then the other thing I'd like to just bring up, which we talked about a little bit off air, is that this episode actually, you know, there's a lot of, we don't know it now, but this is actually a pretty pivotal episode. Because yes. They're actually going to come back to this episode multiple times. With next season, mm-hmm. Barry actually travels back to this episode right after, he takes out Harley the first time and he's brought to the pipeline. And it completely retcons what happens in this episode. So, right now in season 5 and season 6, what we just saw is no longer part of the timeline.
Right.
And then in season 5, Nora and Barry travel back to this episode again, even though we don't see... It's more about dealing with what happens in this episode next season, but it's still traveling back to this episode.
Right. Because that scene where they're in the time vault and they got a Barry tied up and handcuffed there waiting to come through... Or come to, that's part of this next episode that comes up. Because, without giving too much away, Wells figures out really quick that we have the wrong Barry here. And in this episode coming up, that's when we see this scene in the time vault that they go back to in season 5.
Yeah. And it really... You wonder how it'll change the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will have to pay attention for next season that I'll need to remember is to see if Wells does the little hand wave towards the camera while he's talking to the Barry from season 2. And if he's acknowledging the characters in season 5 and they knew that they were going to come back to this moment again.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'll keep an eye out for that, too, when they play it out.
Well, it's just funny, too, because you don't realize how important that this... It's a good episode, but you don't realize how important this episode is until later on.
But, yeah, this is a pivotal episode in the first 2 seasons and a little bit in season 5, too, so definitely important. But with importance comes patience, because we have to wait till next episode to find out why this is so pivotal. So from here, I think we'll call it a night. So if you want to get a hold of us and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any episode that we've covered, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm at drallen201, and the show is Barry V. Eobard. Greg?
And you can find me on Twitter at Gregzors.
And if Twitter's character limited just isn't enough for you, just give us an email at reverseflashtime@gmail.com, or you can get the contact page at outofthespeedforce.wordpress.com, our show website, and we'll get your email. But anyway, we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Listening to Out of the Speed Force, a member of the Maple City Media Network. For information on this and other shows, please visit maplecitymedia.wordpress.com.